Yo, what's up, man? I'm currently torturing this Arab guy.
Yo, I'm not fucking Arab. I'm Mexican.
Yo, what the fuck? Shut the fuck up, man. You Arab, okay,
oh,
bitch?
Look at me, yo.
Now, what was I saying? I'm currently torturing this Mexicano-Arab guy, you know? And if you're too young to
see this...
You're
fucking crazy, man. Let me the fuck go, man.
Shut the fuck up.
Just let me the fuck go, man. You're fucking crazy.
You want me to torture you some more, bitch? You want to do this shit, bitch? I should shut him up, yo. So the guy I'm currently torturing, if you're too young to see this, or you're like offended by any of this shit, yo, get the fuck out of here, man.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show on BDO Radio. I'm your host, Budweiser, and that just totally broke the rhyme. Oh, yeah. Welcome, people. January 30th, year 2007. This is show number... show number 16. It's 16 already. Cool. And it's the first show of 2007. It's going to be a big one, folks. It's going to be a big one. First off, I got to mention that on today's show... we are going to pay a little tribute to a man who used to broadcast on BDO a couple of years ago. His affiliation was called BDO United Kingdom, and his internet nickname was Stony Mahoney. And this guy became very popular on BDO Radio in the lapse of only 6 months. He was the top affiliation of them all, and he totally edged me quite a few times. I mean, a little more time and he could have been very well more popular than the main station. Believe it or not, this guy was that good. And, well, you know how the internet is, you know, because no contacts are really physical on the internet at this level, especially when the person lives overseas. I mean, you only got the internet to communicate, and when this person, you know, may have computer problems or moves or has changes in his life, well, you basically lose touch. And this happened back and forth with Stony Mahoney, with lose touch, regain touch, lose touch. And right now, well, lately, I've lost touch with him for a while, and I thought that for... today's show, number 16, I would pay a little tribute to the guy who really kicked ass on the airwaves at BDO Radio, Stony Mahoney, by playing skits. All the skits of today's show will be Stony Mahoney related, and it's all going to be stuff with Stony Mahoney inside. Now, that's not all. You people are probably going, yeah, some good old Stony Mahoney classics. Yes, there are going to be two Stony Mahoney classics. However, the third skit, which is going to be the first one to play after this very talk segment, is going to be a... Now, I don't think that even the oldest listener of BDO Radio remembers me and Stony Mahoney doing a skit together. Well, the first skit of today's show is me and Stony Mahoney in The Stoned Cop. Now, some of you people are going like, what the fuck? How did Stony Mahoney and Budweiser get together to do a skit? If Budweiser says that they haven't been in touch for a while, and Budweiser says that there's never been a Stony Mahoney and Budweiser skit, I'll tell you how. Well, it's a... Actually, the source voices come from an idea I had while I was making the first CD of BDO Radio, a CD we produced and released in 2004 called Full Bowls and Other Things. Now, this CD was going to be built of skits made by the BDO crew, mostly in improv, and because I didn't want to do too much script, I had an idea to make an extra skit for the CD, and this was the idea. Basically, I wanted to do one with Stony Mahoney, so I said, Stony, let's try some new type of humor, new type of performance, you know? What I proposed is, now, I gave him the scenario of the skit. It was going to be The Bad Cop. What wound up being a skit made by Buffalio, Red, and yours truly was originally supposed to be made by Stony Mahoney and yours truly. Now, I told Stony Mahoney, you're going to do a recording of a cop that just randomly arrests people and gives out tickets. And what you're going to do is, in this recording, you're going to pretend there's someone else answering to what you say. And then I told him to send over the files to me, and I would basically record myself talking over him. Now, the tricky part was that we did not know what we were going to say. When I received Stoney Mahoney's voice, I did not know what he was going to say. This was not scripted. This was like an improv. Basically, each character had to improv without the other character there. And my job was much easier because I had Stoney Mahoney's voice. However, when I got Stoney Mahoney's voice, I don't know if it was a day where I was out of inspiration or I was just not into it, but I had a lot of troubles actually fitting anything over what he was saying on the sound file, and I sort of labeled the project as a failure. I actually never touched it until very recently. And I don't know what happened. A few days ago, I reopened that sound file. I was in the mood to make some skits. And I reopened that sound file. I was digging through my old files for sound effects and stuff and found this, and I went, you know what? Just rehearing it now, I know exactly what to say over this. I mean, I don't even know why I actually never produced this. Turns out it was very usable. However, I probably would have gone with The Bad Cop, which was actually finally done by yours truly, Bafalio and Red, simply because of the reason that The Bad Cop lasts like 9 minutes, while The Stone Cop lasts like 2 minutes, 10 seconds. So, never heard before Stoney Mahoney skit on show number 16, people. This is big. And enough talk about Stoney Mahoney now. Another thing I want to mention on today's show is that we're going to have another episode of the Samson Haley Chronicles. Now, I don't want to say more. I think you're really going to love this one, the way it's structured and everything. You're probably going to have a whole lot of fun listening to that. You know, I was in Florida for my Christmas vacation with my family, and not just like my mom and my dad, but my whole family. And it turns out that one evening I was actually sitting out with my uncle, and I played him a little of Drug Ring 2167 and a little bit of the Haley Samson Haley Chronicles. Now, he liked it, and he actually made a comment. He said, you know, why is it that, you know, you go into such taboo material such as, you know, like red light districts and drugs and so forth, you know? And while he understands the message, he expressed the fact that, you know, there is a possibility that a lot of people will misunderstand my humor and label it as like drug-headed humor and just really wrong and so forth and this and that. But you know what? There's a message in Drug Ring 2167. While the story was indeed initially designed to make you guys laugh and have a good time listening to it, make you guys and girls laugh, let's not forget the ladies, and, you know, have a good time listening to it. Some people may misinterpret some parts, you know, the fact that it just talks so much about drugs and about the red light district, pimping, prostitutes, and it's so open about it. But, you know, I actually gave this as an answer to my uncle, and I felt I'd actually repeat this on the radio, is that, you know, if you listen carefully to, especially Drug Ring 2167 and the Samson Haley Chronicles, I'm not really promoting anything regarding drugs or red light districts. I am listing a lot of facts about them and ridiculizing facts about drug use and drug abuse and prostitution and what happens in red light districts, but my goal in this is to ridiculize red light districts, the drug business, the prostitution business, all these dumb things, you know, because my personal belief is that, you know, put drugs in a neighborhood, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean that instantly you'll have a ghetto, okay? Too many people make that association that, you know, drugs equals red light district. That's not true. Drugs are everywhere. Red light districts are confined to small areas. And, you know, There could be some people you know in life that you think are totally drug-free because they're so sharp and everything, and one day you'll discover they actually smoke pot. They've been smoking pot all this time, and you're like, what the fuck, you know? It's not that fucked up after all. Yes, it can happen. You could be surprised. You might even know someone who smokes crack and you could never tell. And unless you caught the person in the act, you know? And to always associate drugs with an environment is just plain wrong. And Drug Ring 2167 is an absolute abomination of this, an absolute ridiculization of the way these places actually are, and of the degrading aspects of them. And also, I try to exaggerate so much that people go, okay, you're going too far, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do, because people do way too much association, and I'm making fun of this association that, you know, wherever drugs go, everything fucking goes wrong and shit crumbles down. Now, I basically have a few targets with this type of humor. To begin with, the red light districts, because I find they're just plain fucking sad. And, you know, while they're sad, I highlight this somewhere in Drug Ring 2167. No matter how much you try to fix a red light district, very rarely will you actually fix it. You'll probably, if you put money in a red light district to improve it, you'll probably wind up really losing that money big time. Do not invest in a red light district. There's other targets. The drugs themselves, and not necessarily the drugs themselves, maybe the crack. I attack crack and the addicts of crack. And the message is not quite clear, but it's very loud, and it's stop smoking that shit. And that's for one, and for two, I make a lot of fun of the crack business, of how dealers will take advantage of such an addictive substance. And I like to make fun of the drug business, especially in this story of mine, because, you know, you got the petty drug dealer that just gives some consumers what they need, walks away, takes the money, that's it. But then there's the big business where, you know, they play dirty, and that's not the way exchanges should be made. And I like to ridiculize that a lot, you know, the way the mafia works, or the way the bikers work when they trade drugs. That's even more pathetic. I mean, it's all pathetic bullshit, and I try to ridiculize it in my stories. And I think so far I'm doing it well. It's just that a lot of people will misunderstand that. And I'd categorize the prostitution business right there with the drug business, but possibly much lower, because we're not talking about selling drugs. We're talking about selling women's sexual services. I mean, if it was run with more class, but no. Pimps, you know, they beat up their own employees and shit like that, and they collect like crazy commissions. And like, I mean, never does the prostitute make as much as the pimp does, you know? And, well, you know, that's a kind of sad business, you know, and I try to ridiculize that too a whole lot. Something I always like to make fun of, the pimping and all that stuff. If you ever hear me, you know, like being the pimp on the air or something like that, I'm obviously totally kidding. I'm not even like a hip-hop kind of guy, so I'm not trying to take like a hip-hop persona. And I'm certainly not supporting pimping or prostitution in any way. I'm actually making fun of it. I hope just for the people who don't get it clearly, you know, who think that, you know, this is a taboo site, or you don't give a shit about what we say. And to some extent, we don't give a shit about the comedy we select, but there's always a message somewhere deep down in the comedy. And Drug Ring 2167 is... it's not just a message, it's like a whole fucking book filled with messages. And the Samson Haley Chronicles will basically be a projection of this message and my opinion on how drug business goes and how stupid it is and how stupid it can get. What's scary? What truly is scary in my stories is that nothing is too far-fetched. You could say I'm fucking crazy and I went so far to... No. You have no idea how close my shit is to reality. That's what's a little scary, you know? Yes, we all live on a planet where this shit could occur. It's fucking crazy, but it's true. I mean, think it. Think about it deep down. It is true. Okay, I'm not saying that you're gonna have a bunch of crack zombies coming at you, but even that could be possible. I've heard that already. Crack can make somebody get back up from getting hit by a car. The willpower to consume more, to get, I don't know, to go to the other side of the street and rob the store to get some money and get some crack, that willpower to go rob the money may make you get up from, getting hit by a car while crossing the street to go rob the store, and you'll just get right back up and perform the robbery and go buy your crack. It's not far from reality, man. It's kind of sad, actually, that way, but I think my shit puts in a funny picture, and it should be seen the right way. I'm really making fun of the drug business and everything. Enough for this segment, people. I'm going to go to break, and you're going to be getting a skit. After that, you're going to be getting the middle segment, another episode of the Samson Haley Chronicles, and then you're going to get another skit. And that one's going to feature Stony Mahoney as well. And then I'm going to be back on the air and I'll tell you what's following up in segment 3. Right now, do keep your ears wide open, because this is a never-played-before skit featuring Stony Mahoney and yours truly.
VideoRadio.com.
Some fucked up shit, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mic goes to Bafalio.
Okay, Bafalio, story 1. Picture this. It's me, Bafalio, with Budweiser. Our camel, his name was Chuck. We're walking through the desert. All we see is sand. My camel starts eating sand. So, obviously, me and Bud, we start doing the same thing. We figure if the camel could live through the desert, we're gonna do the same fucking shit they do, right? So the camel starts eating sand, I start eating sand, so does Bud. Bud quickly tells me I'm a fucking idiot, so I ran away with the camel, right? But the desert's so fucking flat, all you see is me and the fucking camel running away. After I puke out all the sand I do, I see the camel and he's shitting and eating his own shit. I'm not gonna cross that boundary, right? So I run back to Bud. I say, listen, Bud, I'm sorry to run from you, but I'm going fucking nuts, alright? And then Bud says something very interesting. This you'll hear in part 2.
Hey. What? Hey, hey, you, me? You. Yeah, what? You. What? You're not allowed to park there, man. That's obstructing police business, parking in front of a donut shop, man. You're going to have to move your car. I'm going to have to give you a ticket. Yeah, you hear me?
What do you mean? Yeah, this is the donut shop parking spaces. I mean, I'm rightfully parked.
I'll tell you what. Because I'm a good, I'm a good cop.
You're going to let me off, right?
I'll make you a deal.
What?
You go in that donut shop there. If you get me. Two dozen of those little little donkey donuts with the sugar on, and some chocolate icing shit. Then maybe I'll let you off the ticket, man.
Maybe with a ticket, want a ticket.
Only because I'm a really good cop, man.
You're a bad cop. I'm legally parked here, and what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Listen, I think I'm going to be leaving now. You're absolutely insane.
Wait.
You're totally drunk and stoned.
What'd you get? Come back.
Fuck you.
Oh, fucking hell. I'm going to have to radio back up now. Where's my radio? There it is. Oh, shit. That's not my radio. That's not my radio. Okay. Unit 437 to dispatch. All points bulletin on green Honda Civic. Last seen in the area of the donut shop. Occupants should be considered extremely dangerous. Use of force is recommended. Over. And if you could pass the message on to Captain Wallace that his shit's good and I'm gonna run out by the end of my shit. But okay. Yeah, cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mic goes to Bafalio.
Okay, this is Bafalio, story 1, part 2. So I was running towards Bud, and so it's Bud, me, and Chuck, the fucking camel, all right? And Bud tells to me, what are you, some kind of fucking idiot going off with a camel like that? I'm like, listen, Bud, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going fucking crazy. I need to eat. I'm going nuts. Bud's telling me, listen, worst comes to worst, we eat the camel. Camel looks at us, starts laughing. I thought he said something, but then I was going nuts anyways. All of a sudden, a jeep runs through the fucking desert, and we look at it go by, and there's some chicks there with huge tits. So obviously, what I'm thinking is that maybe there's milk in those tits. We need to get some food, right? And Bud's jaws to the floor, and the camel is fucking jerking off. So we're running towards the jeep, you know, trying to call him over, and the bitches don't even look around, right? So I take a bunch of sand and I throw it towards the jeep, which is like 100 yards away, but it doesn't go very far. So I look at the camel and I say, Chuck, fetch. And that's what he does.
Electropimp Shuttle A42 Electropimp 87-654 Model 3.22 reporting course, motherfucker.
Yo, bitch, I read a distress signal, punk ass.
You call me a bitch?
That's right, Captain Bitch. I call you a bitch and there's a distress call incoming.
Let me hear it, slut-hole motherfucker.
Sure, bitch cunt.
This is Ensign Sokotawa from Starship Horizon. This distress call is destined to our fleet in Ciara System Hyperspace Station 3B56. We have engine bust from attack. We cannot fly. We need escort out of this shithole. Captain Haley is impaired and has shit out our financing allowance money out to buy stuff that look like broken glass that you smoke. We cannot fix ship. This message will take 7 months. Excuse my brother Afakatayaka. He speak no English and complain he do not understand what I say. This message will take 7 months to reach its destination. We will try to do our best to survive until help comes. If anyone close can help, please come. We need engine. We make good twain.
Yo, punk-ass bitch.
What is it, hog fat ho cunt corner whore?
Slut-ass bitch, we can go offer these po-ass motherfuckers people some hoes.
Good idea, bitch-ass cum receptacle.
Setting course for Starship Horizon.
The Samson Haley Chronicles. Episode 2. The Electropimp 3.22 was a marvel. A perfectly independent robotic pimp that ran off a state-of-the-art network, controlled from a central on a planet known as Falcor 6. These robots would do everything a pimp must basically do. Pimp out the prostitutes, collect the cash, and enforce strict rules on either side, customer and prostitute, and use brute force when needed. The upside was that the supreme pimps, the ones that would manage the thousands of pimps in their sector and collect blindingly high commissions, did not face the risk of hiring a human anymore. These robots were so loyal, there was never a worry for them. All the supreme pimps had to do is collect and count. The downside, however, caused the demise of several robots, deaths of thousands, and cost trillions in prostitution revenue. During the development of versions 1 and 2, which were the product's alpha and beta stages, without public release, most of the basic functions ran well and were stable. However, they were never as useful as the future version 3 and needed constant maintenance and assistance from humans, defying the purpose of the existence of electropimps. Version 3 was the one that made it big. It could walk, it could talk, it had attitude, machine guns, knives, and cash slots. It had flip-out panel displays for marketing purposes and lots of decorative elements, such as gold cufflinks welded to their wrists using platinum. They had vision, they had mind, and they had style. Unfortunately, it took a few revisions before the robot became fully reliable and safe to use. Version 3.0, public release of the robot, quickly had the engineers at Pimpatronic, the company that built these robots, scrambling to fix a bug which caused Supreme Pimps to lose billions. During development, for security, a meltdown code phrase was built into each unit to allow a self-destruct sequence. Unfortunately, the programmers omitted to remove this feature. One day, someone happened to discover the code phrase by mistake. This became a trick amongst customers to manage not to have to pay.
Watch, man, we won't have to pay.
You sure this works, man?
Watch. Hey, Pimp Thing.
Yo, what's up? Are you going to give me my dough now?
Your mom says you're special, dude.
I'm special.
Dude, what's going on?
I am special.
Check it out, man. It's fucked.
I am special.
Whoa, man. This is weird.
I am special. 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 I am special.
Wow, man. You really killed it.
Yeah, man. I told you.
Who showed you that trick?
Some guy.
The developers quickly fixed this problem and labeled the revised bot ElectroPimp 3.1. Later, another bug was found in which the ElectroPimp would accept drinks offered to it.
Gimme my dough.
Wait, here, have some scotch.
No problem, yo. Bring it up.
Here.
That was 3.8. Researchers began to observe the robot's behaviors in public. A bug fixed in version 3.11.
Thank you for your payment. Your business was appreciated, yo.
Hey, no prob. A pleasure.
See ya again soon.
Sure, man. Hey, until next time. Hasta la vista, man.
You have spoken the secret instant attack command. Instant attack routine activated.
What's going on? What?
Instant attack routine complete. Returning to normal function.
Version 3.20.
Yo, sir, do you want some sexual services?
Yeah, why not?
Bend over, bitch.
No, I want a prostitute, not a pimp to ass rape me, man. Let me go.
Hold still while I service you, bitch.
Let me go.
Version 3.22 was finally there. It had been out for 4 months and not a serious complaint yet. Two ElectroPimps piloting a prostitute-filled shuttle detected a distress signal that Huka Sakotawa, commander of the Starship Horizon, sent shortly after the marauders from her last installment left the Horizon behind out of pity. After the marauders had shot down one of the Horizon's engines, rendering the Starship unusable, Captain Samson Haley tried to sell them the remaining engine in exchange for cracked cocaine. The marauders rejected the offer immediately and left the Horizon stranded.
Yo, ass-loving bitch, open comm to Horizon. Bunk-ass bitch ho, I already did that, you slow ho.
Hello, members of the Starship Horizon. Would any of you like some bitches?
What did you say? Who are you?
ElectroPimp Shuttle 842, ElectroPimp 87-654, Model 3.22. Do you want bitches?
Man, I want some rocks, man. Crack, you know?
All drugs of your choice are complimentary with our bitches, yo.
Haley, stop use cum. Come back here to bridge.
Yo, so do you want bitches or not?
No!
Yes! And rocks, man!
Haley, come back to bridge!
You got, like, credit, guys? Because we're kind of short financially, you know?
4 days, then you pay. That's as far as I'll go for you new customers, because we want to show goodwill, yo.
And, man, how much?
Our prices are yo-so-low-ho. What you're asking for is a package that would cost you only $800, unlimited complimentary drugs.
Wow, man! Bring the rocks, man!
We will fly the bitch over to you in a shuttle along with complimentary rocks. If the bitch smokes any rocks without your consent, please notify us so we rectify the problem.
No problem, man!
Alright, yo, we will send the bitch now. She must return to us in 6 hours, yo. Then we will leave and find your asses in 4 days. You better have the dough.
Man, no problem, man. Mr. Pimp.
Yes, bitch.
Can you cancel that transaction? My captain is... he is having issues.
No refunds, no returns, bitch. Not even if our customer asks himself. You will get the bitch and the complimentary serving of crack requested by our client here.
Yeah, man. Crack, man.
Haley, you idiot!
Will Haley's attention on crack be diverted away with a little sexual pleasure? Will our crew manage to stay together for 7 months until their home fleet receives the distress call? Will anyone closer who have heard the distress call help the unfortunate Horizon crew? Will the Electro Pimps degrade our captain's situation further now that he has taken a 4-day $800 credit from them? Find out as our story unfolds in the next clip of the Samson Haley Chronicles.
I hope you enjoyed that, Samson Haley Chronicles. You're certainly going to hear more of that, as it seems now, with the story placed in such a situation. I'm bound to write up some more shit soon, so that's going to be ongoing. I don't really know when I'm going to end it. It's a series I can keep open forever and just keep writing shit about, so... Could get interesting, you know. I could go pretty far with this tiny little series, which is, well, basically a spinoff of Drug Ring 2167. Now, I'm actually going to make a modification to the show structure for 2007. Instead of playing the song at the end of the show, I'm going to play it now, and that's going to be our big break of the show. And I'm going to be right back after with a skit. And then you're going to have my talk segment, my second one of the show. So see you there, people. Keep listening. Show number 16, January 30, 2007.
VideoRadio.com.
Some fucked up shit, man.
Got an old Smith record, and I put it on endlessly. The Mona Lisa fascination of a girl named Valerie. She's got a triple X rating, and maybe someday she'd have married me. But she was born to keep me waiting. Her name was Valerie. Time I was thinking we could have worked my hopes into you. Over a recent complication, I come to find that she tired of me. She wrote the book of Revelation. Her name was Valerie. With a little more time, I was thinking we could have worked my life around you.
Okay, Bafalio, story 1, part 3. So the camel was running away towards the jeep. Me and Bud were like cheering him on. Go, Chuck, go, Chuck. Chuck was like, yeah. It was a very decent camel. He came from Egypt. I took him from there, but he never felt Egyptian. He had this more refined taste to him. I think he's been around. An old camel, war veteran or something. Anyway, so he's running towards the jeep. And the chicks are like, oh, let's stop. There's a fucking camel. And he was a good-looking camel. no doubt about it. So the chicks get out, and there's this nice blonde chick with huge fucking tits, and I can see Chuck, you know, he's got a heart on the size of fucking Mount Rushmore. So he starts talking to the chick. He was very cultured. Knew every word in the dictionary backwards, fuck. So he was talking backwards to the chick. She was blonde anyway. She didn't understand much, but me and Bud were, like, just catching up to them. And all of a sudden, she looks at the camel, and she gives him a slap in the face. That's incredible.
Are you tired? Sick of the daily grind? Wondering what life is for? I was like that once. The bank account worries, the career prospects, cars, houses, loans, mortgages, all the things that modern life tells us we want. I worked a full day at the office, then went home and worked on the company laptop. It was supposed to save me time and make my life easier. It just raised the expectations and made me work harder and longer. Many of you listening to me right now may know exactly what I'm talking about. A generation of men and women coerced into the 9-to-5 slavery by dreams of an easier life. Socially oppressed into striving for material goods that we do not need, merely to keep up with our peers, who in turn push harder to stay above us, in a circle that doesn't end until somebody breaks down under the pressure. But one day, that changed for me. I stopped doing what they told me, and I did what I needed to. I turned away from material wants and moved towards that which I really needed. I became fulfilled. It happened very suddenly. That voice as though from sweet Jesus himself, the music like the heavenly choir. They opened up to me in an instant, showing me the path to true salvation. And I'm going to share that with you as it was shared with me. Throw off the shackles of society and live for what you want to live for, not what someone else tells you to live for. Don't work when you don't see the benefits or lose the time to enjoy them. Sit down, relax. It's time for...
I'm back! Hang on. Hello?
Yo, Bud.
What's up?
You got a MySpace account?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, because I don't really know why.
Why don't you get one, man?
I don't feel like that right now, man. Maybe someday. I don't know, man.
Okay, man. Well, you let me know about that, huh?
Yeah, no prob. See you, man.
Bye.
Sorry about that. Now, where was... hang on. Hello?
Yo, Bud.
What's up?
You got a MySpace account?
No, I don't have a MySpace account.
Yeah, why not?
Because I just don't have one.
Man, why don't you...
I don't want a MySpace account.
Okay, man. Just let me know if you ever change your mind.
Yeah, whatever. Man, will this thing let me start the segment, for fuck's sake? Oh, God, hang on a second. Hello?
Budweiser?
Yes.
What's your MySpace account?
But I don't have one!
Okay, why not?
I just don't feel like having a MySpace account. Leave me the fuck alone! Oh, God. In the middle of a show, for fuck's sake. Yeah, I don't know why people ask me that question so often. I always have to answer, no, I don't have a MySpace page. I haven't found the need for it yet, and honestly, you know, I almost have the same thing on YouTube. In fact, I find it cooler on YouTube, and because it's just not as bloated. And, I don't know, I don't even update that one, so imagine if I had MySpace and YouTube, you get the idea. I just don't have the need right now for that. So figured I'd answer that on the show, so I wouldn't get that question asked too often to me, like, you saw the beginning of the show, yes. Little joke right there about the MySpace account, but you know, it's a trendy thing, you know, to have your MySpace account because it's the name MySpace. YouTube is not as cool as MySpace. I don't know, you know, it's like, leave me alone, please, man, you know? All I want is a rock right about now, man. Yes, you people have gotten brainwashed through this show. From Stony Mahoney-ness, from Buffalioisms. Yes, because I decided to make all the skits, the ones that follow station IDs, that little extra skit that I don't even mention in the first segment of the show that comes with every skit. Yeah, those little tiny ones. Yeah, I decided to assemble some of Bofolio's old shit there. Some funny shit he had done for a show that I wanted to wrap up rapidly back in the day. And he recorded that just in a GIF and shipped it over to me, and I put it all together. And it's just so ridiculous what he says. Anyways, and thought you'd enjoy that being slapped into the show. Bofolioisms, Stonyisms, one heck of a motherfucking show. Hope you enjoyed that. Also that brand new skit with Stony Mahoney and yours truly, to which Stony Mahoney's lines were recorded 2 years ago. And Stony Mahoney's lines were not scripted, I must repeat. This was all improvised, and Stony Mahoney improvised the role without me being there, without knowing what I was going to say. And I, when I got the file, I didn't know what was in the file, and I had to talk over it. So it's a sort of really remote type of improv that is quite difficult to practice, because the first time I actually choked on this one, I actually wasn't able to compose anything with it and just find anything to say over it until now, believe it or not. And I think it brought out a pretty damn good skit in the old style of bong.dhs.org. That's it for that. You know, that was the first half of the show. You're in the second half of the show, or the last third, or well, just a little bit more than the last third. Anyways, I gotta mention something, although this is in like a couple of days, I hope I get this show released in time for this. This is something my friend was passing around by email. Now, the email was in French, so I believe this was initiated by someone in the province of Quebec. It's something that the it's an alliance for the prevention of global warming, something like that. You know, they're ecologists and shit, you know, and they are proposing this thing where at 7:55 p.m. on February 1st, 2007, this would be in 2 days from the recording of the show. Hopefully I can get it released tomorrow so people hear this. 7:55 p.m., February 1st, 2007, we close everything. This is their proposition. We close everything that really drains power. Computer monitors, televisions, lights, heating, cooling, whatever you have in your home. If you can turn off the refrigerator, good on you. At 7:55 p.m. on February 1st, 2007, we turn everything off for only 5 minutes, and then we turn everything back on at 8. Turn on the TV, turn on the monitors, whatever you need, actually. You don't need to turn everything back on, every single thing. Because then you're probably, if everyone does that, we're going to fucking blow up the electric central. We don't want to do that. What we want to do is just pass a message. Obviously, we're not going to save much power by shutting off everything for 5 minutes. It's because there's a summit that's going to be held in Paris about the issues on global warming. And basically, this would be a great word from the population to dissipate out there and to propagate. And, you know, if an important part of the population suddenly shut off all their, you know, power-consuming, you know, power-intensive electronic and electric appliances, such as lights, screens, ovens, and so forth. Well, this is going to create a mediatic impact, and will actually get a lot of attention and sort of bring a message from the population that, you know, we're aware and we're starting to notice that there's not much people doing much of anything about the situation. In fact, all George Bush did is allowed the petroleum companies to do whatever the fuck they pleased because of lobbying. And this made people burn a whole lot of fuel, people. Like, listen to me on that one. We're burning more fuel than before. We're not supposed to be doing that. Now, there's the hybrid factor right now, but yeah. See, the problem is that we're still flying those jets in the air that are fucking burning about, like, what a whole parking lot of cars could consume in a whole year in the lapse of, like, 3 hours, okay? It doesn't solve the problem that you bought a fucking hybrid, okay? We are burning too much of this shit. We're causing a lot of problems. And, I think this little move is just a message, because as a consumer, as an end consumer, as a citizen, a normal Joe Schmo, you can't really go and go up against the fucking power company or the fuel companies and say, hey, bring your prices back down and stop fucking with people's heads and let them release the water-powered car, you fucking bastards, you know? Stuff like that. We couldn't do that, you know, the Joe Schmoes. So what we can do is pass a message by doing such a gesture and getting mediatic attention. And I'm not saying they're going to come to your house and talk to you specifically about you turning your lights out. But it's going to be in the news somewhere if a majority of people do it, or if an important minority at least does it. We're going to see some talk in the news about it, saying that people are now getting concerned with global warming. And anyone who is, I invite you to do this on February 1st, 2007, at 7:55 p.m. Yeah, shut down everything. And I'm actually going to take a look. Oh my god, that's Thursday at 7:55, Thursday. 5 minutes without power. You know what I'm saying? That's all? That's all it takes. 5 minutes without power, and the message is clear. So anyone who listens to that and is interested in doing it, the more the merrier. This is 7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to adjust and sort of meet us at the same time, adjust this to your time zone and do it at the same time, and we're all going to be shutting our lights off and shutting them back on and shit. You know, if you live in Australia and it's in the middle of the night at that time for you, do it anyways. Ha ha! Yes, get up, close anything that's still on in your house, and turn it back on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, North America. You know what I'm saying. Yo, 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 down the street. And I guess, too, the ranting griffin would like to hear that one. Unfortunately, I could actually forward him a message about this. Or ask him if I actually missed the date, if I don't have enough time for this. What I could do is have to the ranting griffin organize another one of these events in which we would do such a gesture. Perhaps I could ask to the ranting griffin if he would want to come up with another gesture. I know that he would be a big supporter of this move. He would actually love hearing this, so it's a little unfortunate that I didn't actually think of sending him a word about this so he could mention it on his show last week. But yeah, really interesting thing to do right there. I'm not the kind to go to protests and shit and waste my time against organizations and groups of people that are like 3 trillion times more powerful than me. What the fuck can I do picketing around a fucking piece of cardboard? If I can't make shit explode, what good will it bring, you know? If I can't slice heads off, I'm not gonna bother. You know, it's like, these people are bastards. Can I beat the crap out of them?
No, you can't.
Can I slice their heads off with this rusty sword?
No, you can't.
What the fuck, man? This is fuck. What are these stupid rules? I'm out of here, man. This sucks. Yeah, that's what I do, okay? Anyways, but if it can be a gesture like that, that gets interesting. Because now you're fucking with what they're giving you. You say, you know what, for 5 minutes, bitch, yo, we accepted to take 5 minutes of our lives to stop using your garbage, yo. Yeah, problem is in the province of Quebec, the gesture is not as full of weight as in the United States, where they don't have hydroelectricity. We have hydroelectricity. It is naturally produced power. And it's not really as damaging, and nowhere near as damaging as like an oil electric plant would be, you know, that's bad, man. Burning oil to make, you know, I don't know about that. That's kind of nasty, bro. You know what I'm saying? You could use water, hydrogen, you know what I'm saying? You know, you electrolyze the water to separate the hydrogen from the oxygen, and you collect the hydrogen and release the oxygen. Actually, no, you keep the oxygen because you don't want to fuck up the balance of water on Earth. People think that the water car will actually consume the water. This is the funny thing, people. The water car is a simple concept. If you've ever taken chemistry class in high school, you've done the experiment before. You just don't remember it, probably. Electrolysis. I don't know if I'm saying it right in English. I know the word in French. Electrolysis. This is where you put... I forgot exactly how it's done. But you put an electric charge in the water that basically makes the water molecule split back into oxygen and hydrogen individually. And you collect the hydrogen. And in the experiment we would do in chemistry class, you would just take that little test tube that had filled up with the supposed hydrogen, and to make the test to see if you had actually successfully extracted hydrogen, you'd put a lighter next to the test tube and it'd just flare up. And that's what the water car is all about. And here's the fun part. When you burn the hydrogen, the resulting smoke is not smoke, it's water. It's water vapor. So you're basically, by burning the hydrogen, oxidizing it, and you're turning it back into water. So it's from water to hydrogen, back to water. So we wouldn't fuck with the supply of water on Earth. In fact, I think we could distill seawater to do this in part and have a certain amount that we would constantly reuse that would basically rain back down on us. And, that would make things really interesting at that point, you know, if we could use that water car. Anyways, I don't know if I was going anywhere with that, but I'm kind of tired. It's getting late at night here. Felt like I would record. I was like in a tired, talkative mood, that kind of, you know. So that's why I decided to record the talk segments now. And, well, I'm going to wrap up for what it is of my part of the show. But stay tuned, because there's the final skit of the show coming up. And then, well, hopefully you're going to see show number 17 in not too long. See you, folks. Enjoy the skit.
VideoRadio.com.
Some fucked up shit, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mic goes to Bafalio.
Okay, this is Bafalio, story 1, part 4. So I come up to the car, me and Bud, and the camel just got fucking slapped by the bitch. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And then we start looking in the car, and there's these two other chicks that are eating each other out. And I'm like, what the fuck is this crazy shit? Bud's like, who the fuck, what the fuck? I look at the camel, he's fucking under the car drinking the water out of the radiator. So I'm like, that's a fucking good idea. I knock the fucking camel in the balls with my foot, and I start doing the same thing, drinking the fucking thing. And then I see Bud, I don't know what he's doing, he's deflating the tires. But he was fucking nuts, he's all fucking crazy. So I'm like, Bud, you're fucking crazy, what are you doing? He goes, I'm deflating the tires. I go, I can see that, but why? He goes, I don't know, it just sounded like a good idea. That fucking camel is laughing his ass off, and the fucking bitches are still eating each other out, and then the fucking jeep just fucking disappears. I think it was a mirage or something, but we end up in this fucking city in the Middle East.
And now, from BDO Radio, Stony Mahoney demonstrates the result of his new gourmet mixture, beer and vodka.
I don't know what I want to do, actually. I don't know whether I want to drink this or just jump out of the window behind me. Ah, fuck it, I'm going to drink this. Holy shit. Okay. I have not drunk the whole thing. I have drunk a quarter of it. Holy fucking shit. It is foul. It is nasty. Although that does mean I've got enough room to... No sticking a cactus up your ass live on air. No trying to fuck your own mother with a baseball bat after she's dead, after digging her up out of her coffin and slamming her on the floor. And no trying to drink beer with vodka mixed into it. I can't believe I'm going to try this again. Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. Fuck me. I think this is the foulest concoction I have ever tried to drink. Although I suppose there would be a way of making it even worse. And there is no other way. There is no worse way of drinking beer than this. I'm looking at this glass now. Oh, God. We meet again. Okay, it's all gone now. I'm gonna stop recording now. Because I don't feel so good all of a sudden. Oh, good God. Ooh. Oh, good God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mic goes to Bafalio.
Okay, Bafalio, story 1, part 5. Or 6, I forget. So we're me and Bud are in fucking Afghanistan, right? And all of a sudden we're like fucking dressed up as Canadian peacekeepers. And I just remember that's what we're here for. We're fucking here to keep the peace. But we're fucking drunk out of our ass. So we start walking the streets and I spot a fucking nice chick, right? You can tell she's a nice chick because she's all covered up in veils. But you can see her elbow and in fucking Afghanistan, Taliban country, that's fucking sexy. So I go up to the bitch and I say, hey, sweetheart, you're fucking sexy. Nice elbow. And she starts saying to me, and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And Bud starts talking back to her. And she goes, and I'm like, what the fuck? And they're communicating for a while. And then she starts, like, spitting, but she can't spit through her veils, and Bud starts laughing, ha ha ha, and he starts throwing sand with his foot, you know, like umpires do in baseball. Alright, so I'm like, oh, maybe it's a baseball thing. So I take out a fucking bat, and I fucking slam her in the face, and the fucking bitch falls on the floor, and I hear a lot of claps from the crowd, because they like that kind of thing.